Happy Advent.
I love Advent. I love the seasons of the church year. And I love this season. If you get the weekly e-newsletter that I sent out, you will have already read of my love for Advent. And if you didn't get the weekly e-newsletter, you can give us your email address and we would be glad to get you signed up. Just write it in the friendship pad a little bit later in the service. I love Advent. It's quiet, it's hopeful, it's a little dark. It matches the weather, especially this year, right? Shorter days, longer nights, and wet and dreary days and nights, particularly for us, seem very Advent-y to me. We didn't have power this morning until partway through the first service, and so it was very Advent-y as we gathered in the dark. We put out candles, everybody came forward, and then the lights came on, and it was magnificent. Advent's a funny season. It's the season of waiting, hoping, anticipating, preparing. And what are we waiting for? Anyone? Jesus? Always the right answer in the church, most of the time. The birth of Jesus, yes. Technically, the birth of Jesus is what we are waiting for in Advent. But more than the birth of Jesus, yet again, Advent is also about waiting for Jesus to come again. Not in like a crazy end of the world kind of way, but in a powerful, cosmic hope in God's plan, God's redemption for all of creation. It's an active, hopeful waiting for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's wild and unruly and ever-growing family, which Jesus claimed is here, is at hand. It's waiting for that kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to be fully realized. And so we Christians see that hopeful future most clearly this time of year, I think, in these old, old stories of the birth of Jesus. So Advent is about waiting for Jesus to be born, which has already happened, waiting for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to be fully realized, which has already begun but hasn't happened yet. It's already, but not yet. This is the place we people of faith live. It's a common theme. You hear this from me over and over again. And this year, in the midst of our already, but not yet, our Advent theme is spark. I love this idea of Advent as spark. It's not a blaze. It's not flaming brightness, but it's small, powerful. It's a star in the sky. It's one candle shining in the darkness. It's brilliant and beautiful. Advent ignites something in us if we let it. 2,000 years ago, the birth of a baby sparked a movement that would change the world. A single vulnerable baby, God incarnate, God with skin on, the creator of the universe, somehow contained within the soft brown body of a Palestinian Jewish baby. A baby who was born in the shadow of a mighty empire. A baby whose life was threatened from the moment of his birth. A baby who eventually would deliver us from death itself. A spark of hope. Each week, we'll be looking at the four traditional themes of Advent, which are tied to the tradition of lighting the candles on the Advent wreath. Each candle marks one Sunday in Advent: hope, peace, joy, love. And today's theme is hope. And our passage from the prophet Isaiah that Jeff read earlier is all about hope. Isaiah speaks beautiful words about the nations, all nations coming together, learning together, walking together, laying down weapons together. And not just laying down weapons, but actually transforming them, beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, turning implements of war into farming tools to nurture growth and to cultivate life. And not just any life, but the life of a community, the life together for all the people. Farming benefits entire communities. It's so beautiful what Isaiah says, and it's so insane. I mean, every time this reading comes up in our lectionary, our three-year cycle of Bible passages that we look at on Sunday mornings, every year, every 3 years when this comes up, I have to ask these questions. Can you imagine this actually happening? I mean, realistically, can you imagine the nations of the world, our world, everyone in those nations just handing over their weapons to blacksmiths or smelters or nuclear scientists, whoever has the ability to actually break them down, to unweaponize them, and allowing them to become spades and hoes and rakes? Can you imagine our nation giving up guns? Can you actually imagine a world where violence and the threat of violence doesn't mark our daily, weekly, monthly news? It's impossible. It sounds crazy today to think of Isaiah's words in our world today. And truthfully, it sounded crazy when Isaiah said it as well. Isaiah sounded pretty naive and ridiculous back then, because Israel was firmly rooted in ongoing warfare, and there were no nations streaming to the mountain of the Lord, and God has never yet acted as the mediator, the conflict mediator for the world, and no one is handing over weapons to be made into plowshares then or now. And that's the thing about prophets. Prophets speak hard words. They speak difficult truths. They speak crazy words of radical hope. They share God's ultimate vision for God's people, regardless of how naive or ridiculous it may sound. They share God's vision for God's people. And then Isaiah cast this vision of hope into a broken and fearful world. Hope that people can be united. And not just in a, we're gonna gather together and hold hands in a circle and sing songs kind of united, but actually united by a God who will judge between the nations, who shall arbitrate for the people. God will name injustice and make it right. And God will turn our destruction and violence into cooperation, into creativity. We need this vision cast for us. We need these words of hope today, more than ever. And I think that we Christians see this hope made tangible most clearly at the table, where we will celebrate communion in just a few minutes. We will attempt to live into hope, to embody just for a moment the unity of all creation, waiting for God's promises to come true, all the while surrounded by evidence that they are farther away than ever. We live in the already, but not yet. It's an absurd hope, but it's a hope that comes from God. And like Zechariah, when we are face to face with God's hope for the world, sometimes we are struck mute. Because what can we say in light of such a hope? I have a new Advent devotional book this year. It's a book called Lo. It's written by John Pavlovitz, who is a provocative writer and speaker and author and pastor. He was a pastor of a great big church, and he lost his job because he said some uncomfortable things, and he pushed boundaries a little bit, and then he became pastor of a different kind of church. This is what he writes in his Advent book, Lo. We remember that this is the story of an olive-skinned baby born amid the smell of damp straw and animal dung, because no human-worthy welcome could be found. We remember that this is the story of a child of young Palestinian Jewish parents desperately fleeing politically ordered genocide. It is the story of a poor street-preaching itinerant rabbi spending his days dining with lepers and prostitutes, enlisting the doubters and the backsliders, and comforting the bleeding and the grieving. It is divinity coming low to inhabit humanity. It is God's massive scale delivered in counterintuitive smallness. It is beautifully strange. The season of Advent allows us to notice the posture we are living in and invites us to step into the story again and to get our hands dirty. It's a space where we can walk together and get proximity to these stories again. The invitation as we walk the road of Advent is not to escape this place to some elevated heavenly sanctuary somewhere. The invitation is to bring heaven down. Emmanuel, after all, means God with us. And maybe that's why we light a candle each Sunday in Advent. It's one small flame, a visible reminder of the sheer impossibility of hope and peace and joy and love. It's a visible reminder that participating in these cosmic and universal truths begins in a small and seemingly insignificant way with a baby born into a poor family in the middle of the night. God with us, as astounding as that may sound. God with us. God with us. That is hope. Come, says Isaiah, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is hope. The spark of a single candle flickering in a dark world. Amen.